So to start with, how many people have received the vaccine in the region at this point? And of that, are you able to say how many people have received both doses?
We have vaccinated 1,550 residents of the YK Delta, and we're just starting our second doses yesterday and today. So only a handful of people have gotten their second doses.
And what percentage of people are declining the vaccine at this point?
We're trying right now to get the vaccine out to the people who want it, and we'll work on what percentage of the population has been vaccinated and those who have declined in the future. But right now, our focus is really on trying to get everyone who has requested the vaccine vaccinated as soon as possible.
The CDC estimated 20 million people would be vaccinated by the end of December, but at the beginning of January, only 5 million people nationwide had been vaccinated. Was the Health Corporation able to vaccinate as many people as it wanted to in December?
We were very fortunate to receive both an allocation from the state of Alaska and the Indian Health Service. So the Indian Health Service allocation allowed us to expand vaccination much faster than other non-Indian Health Service sites. So we were able to start vaccinating our elders, for example, you know, weeks before other people. So we're very lucky to have gotten that type of allocation to get started much faster on our high-risk health groups and then our frontline essential workers. So that's probably part of the reason why we were able to get going a little bit faster than the rest of the United States.
So YKHC is at the vaccination level that it expected to be at this point?
Well, I feel like we're past the vaccination level that I expected to be. When we initially started this, I did not realize we were going to get such a generous allocation from both the state and the Indian Health Service. And so when I realized that, we needed to focus on vaccinating our healthcare workers because preservation of healthcare capacity is essential to handle the pandemic. But then the very next priority for me were our elders, who are so much disproportionately affected by this disease. So we were able to step into right before Christmas. So I feel very lucky about that.
People over age 65 in other areas of the state are just starting to be able to request a vaccine, whereas elders in the YK Delta have already started getting that vaccination. And YKHC made a point in some of its press materials that it really advocated to be able to start vaccinating people 65 and older earlier. And why was that so important to do?
The elders in our region are the culture bearers. I think that's essential. We have a population that lives disproportionately in villages that don't have sanitation. And congregate living is a lot more common in our region. And that's just some of the reasons why we really strongly pushed to start using our Indian Health Service allocation for elders as soon as we possibly could. Logistically, it's difficult to deliver vaccine in this scale in this region. But, you know, it was just so important to all of us to just start getting that group vaccinated as soon as we possibly could.
And speaking of logistics, YKHC was chartering bush planes, flying from village to village, lining up healthcare workers on the runway and vaccinating everyone, observing them for the required period of time, making sure no one had a reaction. That's really a logistical feat. It's winter time. How did that go for the first round of vaccinations?
Like everything in rural Alaska, we had sort of a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. And, you know, we were down to plan Z by the end of the week. But we managed to do it in about 4 days, 32 villages, over 230 healthcare workers. And it was truly a remarkable feat. And it was just such an honor to be a part of it. I was privileged to fly out on the first couple of days of flights. And it was amazing. It was really cold, which is good because the weather's clear then, so it's easier to fly. It's hard to imagine the logistics that had to go into that. We had to make sure we had the right amount of vaccine, but not too much because you can't have too much vaccine because we did not want to waste a single dose. Making sure the people in the village knew that we were going to be at what time we were going to be landing so that they could arrive at the runway and be there. And then coordinating with the pilots and the dispatch for the charter planes to make sure that we could get to all the places we needed to get to before the end of the day. Ton of people were involved, a lot of logistics went into it, and it was just a phenomenal experience and really uplifting. You know, the vaccine is a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. We're still having a huge outbreak. People are still dying of this disease from our region. We're still having to send people to Anchorage for ICU care. It's still a terrible outbreak and people are still suffering, but it was really nice to have something to offer instead of just, you know, telling people, you know, there's nothing we can do about this. You just have to try not to catch it. It's nice to be able to have another tool in our toolbox, for sure.
And did the healthcare workers, did they want to get the vaccine? Was there any certain percentage that said, no, I don't want to get it, or I don't want to get it right now?
I don't have the exact percentage of people, especially in our villages, who did not want to get the vaccine right away. Many of them wanted to wait a little. Many of our healthcare providers have already had COVID and they wanted to wait, you know, let other people get it first. So wait for that 90 days so they don't take vaccine from other people. Some of our healthcare providers had COVID and you can't get the vaccine while you're currently infected. So there were some people that didn't want it. So we started this week on the second round of this. We're trying to catch up those people who've either changed their minds, they want it now, or they were unable to get it on the first round for whatever reason. So the entire project's being repeated now starting today.
YKHC has also started vaccinating elders in villages as well. And how is that happening?
So we have two different types of vaccine. We have the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine is the one where it can only be thawed for 5 days and the Moderna can be thawed for 30 days. So we're using a lot of Moderna to vaccinate in villages just because of the ease of use of it. And then we have a little bit more Pfizer vaccine than Moderna. So we're also using Pfizer for those villages that are easier to get to, or we can drive to, or things like that. So we're contacting the elders. We're calling them and asking them if they would like to get vaccinated, scheduling them appointments. And then we're also trying to vaccinate frontline essential workers in the villages at the same time, because it's difficult to get to villages and it's hard to do this. So we're really trying hard to kind of coordinate that. For example, I'm flying out tomorrow and I'm going to be bringing with me, in addition to my second doses of Pfizer, an additional supply of vaccine for those who have been identified as elders or frontline essential workers who would like the vaccine. So I'm bringing that with me. In some cases, I'm going to stay in the village and work with the health aides to vaccinate those people. And in some places, we're giving the vaccine to the health aides to do some of the vaccinations. So it's a hybrid of both of those things.
How is it during this time of COVID where so many of us have just stayed in one place in our one community for so long, and now you're actually being able to travel to other communities for this vaccination effort? How is that?
It's a relief, but it's a little bit bittersweet. The day that we got our shipment of vaccine was a day that we had to medevac a young person who was very ill with COVID. But on the other hand, it is a tremendous relief. But I should mention, the pandemic is not over and we still have to wear masks. We still have to keep our social circles small. We got to wash our hands and we still have to be extremely vigilant. We still have some of the highest case rates in the nation and there is active outbreaks with community spread in Bethel and many of our villages. And so the pandemic is not over. The vaccine is a tool to help control it, but we're not going to see probably the effects of the vaccination for months. And so it's hard because you want to be so excited. And I am excited. I'm very excited about the vaccine, but also very cautious.
And I've heard that every employee of YKHC is eligible to get the vaccine at this point. Is that accurate?
Yes. So most of our staff were eligible in 1A. And the ones who were not eligible in 1A are eligible in phase 1B. So we're vaccinating the rest of them who choose to. So it's not mandatory. It's elective.
Several community members have reached out to KYUK with questions about that, asking why our YKHC employees, who some can even be working from home right now, who have no interaction with patients, why are they eligible for the vaccine right now while other people who our frontline essential workers in the community still haven't received the vaccine? So I wanted you to be able to respond to that.
Happy to respond to that. So all frontline essential workers in Bethel who meet the category set forth by the ACIP and the state of Alaska are eligible for vaccine. I strongly encourage everyone to complete that online form to be put on our list of people to call to schedule for vaccine. So that's definitely true. And YKHC employees are critical to the operations response to the COVID outbreak. So in the 1B wave, you're allowed to vaccinate people who are critical to the response to COVID. And certainly all frontline workers are eligible to be vaccinated and just simply need to complete that form online. So there is a list on our website, ykhc.org/COVID-19, that has the list of eligible worker types that are eligible for the vaccine. Anyone who's in those categories, all they need to do is complete that form online and we will reach out and schedule them.
And who is reviewing those forms and deciding, okay, this person gets the vaccine and then a week later, this person will get the vaccine?
Myself and the incident command team, we all work closely together to review that to determine. So the list of eligible professions is pretty clear. There's not a lot of debate or wiggle room in that particular type of profession. And if people go and look at that website, you can see clearly who's on that website. And if people are confused at all about that, the website has it laid out pretty clearly. So there's sort of two balancing reasons for vaccination. One is preservation of healthcare. Two is preservation of life. Along with preservation of healthcare is preservation of society. So a good example for this is you talk a little bit about teachers. So teachers certainly could teach remotely, right? I mean, that's what they've been doing most of the year in most of our villages. So that's certainly possible to continue. But we understand that in order for society to continue, we need to be able to get kids back into school. Educators were high on the list of people that we wanted to vaccinate. So not necessarily preservation of life, but preservation of society. On the other hand, we want to vaccinate elders. That's preservation of life because we really want to make sure that the people who are going to be disproportionately affected by this need to be vaccinated. The other group are people who have to go to work and they can't avoid exposure. So think about a grocery store clerk. So the person who works at the grocery store has no choice but to be exposed to a bunch of different people who are coming in to get their groceries. So that's a good example of both preservation of society and preservation of life. So that's sort of the principles that both the ACIP and the State Vaccine Allocation Committee used to determine who's in that group. It's not meant to be a value judgment on anyone's profession by saying, well, you're less valuable. We're just saying this is kind of how, as a society, we have to go forward to decide who gets vaccine first. And we're very, very lucky in this region that we've been able to expand this faster than other parts of the state. And again, it's because of that Indian Health Service allocation.
Has YKHC gotten word on when it should receive its next allocation of vaccine?
We have not. The way it works is you have to order your vaccines on an online program. And we think on the 11th of January, it's going to open up to order our January allocation.
I want to switch to how YKHC is reporting that it's seeing a decrease in its cases, but that the cases are becoming more severe, or that there's a higher percentage of those severe cases of COVID-19. Can you speak to that about why that's occurring?
I'm not entirely certain why there's more hospitalizations. We certainly have had record levels of hospitalizations over the past weekend into this week. So I think it's related to a couple of different things. Number one, there was an overall plateau of our cases. And I think that's partially related to the state is seeing an overall plateau in cases. The state of Alaska is. And I think our numbers just a little bit reflect that. It's probably a result of our hunker down orders that have been in place now coming up on the second month of our recommendation of the hunker down. I think that has contributed to a decrease in overall cases. As far as the severity of it, I'm just not sure why that is. It's possible. So some of these cases are a result of Christmas gatherings. So it's possible that people were getting high doses of virus because they were in enclosed areas with people not in their household. That could be part of it. It could just be luck of the draw that people are getting more severely ill right now. But we are seeing also, which I find is even a little bit more alarming, is younger people are getting hospitalized and suffering some of the more severe consequences of COVID than we had seen in the past. So I find that highly concerning. It just sort of underscores that prevention is still our best friend here.
And when you say you're seeing younger people being hospitalized, how young, what ages are they?
Well, see, you know, it depends on how old you are, right? What you think is young. What I mean is under the age of 65.
YKHC has said that one reason why continuing to lock down is really critical at this point is because January and February is when in years past the peak of respiratory illness season has been seen in the region. How does that interact with COVID?
So normally our flu season picks up right about now. We generally speaking have a peak of our flu season in January and February. Fortunately, we have not yet seen a large increase in flu and RSV cases. So I'm not sure how that would play out with COVID because we've never had a COVID outbreak at the same time as a flu outbreak, but I'm really hoping to avoid that. I'm hoping that the lockdown has contributed to a decrease in flu and RSV cases as well. And, you know, the fact that school's not in session and there aren't basketball tournaments going on, those are also big spreading events for flu and RSV for sure. So the fact that those aren't going on are probably helping us out too. But it would be really important for all of us to avoid a large flu and RSV outbreak in the midst of our large COVID outbreak. Our healthcare system's pretty fragile and we really just need to avoid that.
At this point, are you able to say if there's any communities that had announced community spread or had shown evidence of community spread that now are no longer showing evidence of community spread?
There are communities who have probably had a decrease in community-based transmission. And how we sort of make that decision is if they go a couple of infection cycles, so a couple of 14-day cycles with no new cases, we try to say, okay, all right, you might be getting out of community-based transmission. And if you're really careful, you might avoid more community-based transmission. So some villages have met that mark or are getting close to meeting that mark, but I just think it's important to remain vigilant. We are very interconnected communities, and Bethel's the hub, and Bethel has a lot of community-based transmission. So I would caution against feeling too smug about reducing the amount of transmission in a village just because of how much travel happens back and forth, either between villages or between Bethel and villages. And just because we have so many cases in Bethel right now. So it's important just to, for everyone just to remain vigilant. But I do remain hopeful that we are getting into the place in some villages where there is a decrease in community-based transmission.
Who will be in the next phase and the phase after that?
So we're still working on making that announcement. The announcement will be coming in a few days when we're going to be able to open up vaccination for more of our population. I feel comfortable that we have already received an announcement of what our allocation might be, but we haven't been able to place the order yet. I wouldn't want to run out of vaccine. And I also want to make sure that we have preserved vaccine for our elders so that we have gotten enough vaccine for every elder who wants it before we move on to the next tier, if that makes sense. Stay tuned. There'll be announcements on expanding the tiers very soon.
Has YKHC been able to use all the vaccine that it's been given when the vials have been open? There have been stories in other parts of the nation where some vaccine has had to be thrown away because there was no one to give it to or it expired.
So far, we have not had to do that. We have a very robust system of calling people who are eligible and haven't yet been scheduled. Or who are, say, you're scheduled for tomorrow and we have 4 or 5 leftover doses today. So calling people to ask them to come in and get the vaccine. The other thing that happens is like when we're vaccinating in villages. So if we get to the end of the vaccine run and we know that we're going to have a few doses left over, we call ahead to make sure that there's people waiting to get vaccinated. And so far we haven't had to waste a single dose.
And what are the most current case count numbers for the region and for Bethel?
Actually, the case rate for the region is 112 cases per 100,000. And for Bethel are 232 cases per 100,000. So we're still really high. And that, I believe, is the highest case rate in the state. And the 232 is probably one of the highest case rates in the nation. And that's Bethel alone.
Oof. Dr. Hodges, thank you so much, especially in the morning, taking time. I really appreciate it.